Now throw your heads back and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know this morning, contrary to popular demand, is that really God really does want us to grow through pressure and affliction and adversity and trouble. It has never been and never will be the will of God for us to quit. It will never be the will of God for us to give up because it's too hard. It will never be the will of God for us to throw in the towel. Because anything that God puts his hand on, glory to God, he puts his hand on it for it to be successful. Anything that God creates, he creates it to be successful. And so I want you to understand this morning that pressure, I'm going to walk right down Main Street this morning, that pressure is good. I saw a cartoon this week as I was searching the internet, looking for sound definitions of pressure, and then looking in the Bible for individuals. And one of those individuals are named in the text, Job. And I saw a wonderful cartoon, and I had to read it and read it over and over again because it was a drawing of two pieces of coal, a larger piece and a smaller piece. And standing next to those two pieces of coal was a diamond. And the caption on the cartoon, the larger piece of coal must have been the mother coal because it looked at the smaller piece and said, "Son, you can see that your daddy has been under a lot of pressure." And the diamond that was next to them must have been the father. And so as I read that cartoon, it kind of encouraged me because the truth of the matter is, if you don't face any pressures, if you don't face any adversities, if you are a Christian and you don't face no challenges, I am concerned about whether you are walking in the will of God, because everybody I know who is walking in the will of God got some stuff going on. And so the reality of it is that we understand that God is a purposeful God, that God will permit, God Almighty, that God will permit things to happen in the lives of believers so that he can do what? So that he can squeeze the diamond out of us. Turn to somebody and say, "I want to be diamond. I don't want to look and be cold for the rest of my life. I want to be a precious jewel. I want to be invaluable. I want to have something that you can look at and say, oh, I know that the Lord must be with them because all the trouble that they're seeing, yet they are better because of the trouble."
Thank you, Lord.
We have to learn that no matter what is going on in life, God wants us to exercise patience under pressure. Glory to God. See, in other words, we should be bearing our afflictions without complaining. Oh, that's tough. That's tough. That's tough. But I'm telling you, if you have the Holy Spirit and God is walking with you and you call yourself a believer, you ought to be able to operate many times in whatever situation you're in and keep your mouth from complaining, because the thing that God wants us to receive and understand is he may not change the situation, but the situation can add enough pressure on you and I to make us precious before his sight.
Yes, thank you, Father.
See, you and I have to be able to get injured without revenge. Help us, Lord. Oh, they hurt my feelings. Oh, they hurt me. But look at what God has done in your life. And I'm talking to the believers now. Look at what God has done in your life despite them hurting you.
Yeah,
You are billboard for the kingdom of God. Despite your injury, we don't seek revenge. Whatever God has promised us, he will do. Oh, I hope we get that right there. Whatever God has promised you and I, he will do, because the vision is at an appointed time, and at the end it will speak and not lie. Therefore, wait for it. Amen. Be patient. Amen. I'm a firm believer that if we don't exercise patience, God cannot do the fullness that he wants to do in the life of those who say we believe who he is. Patience is connected to everything that God will do in the life of a Christian. Amen. If you can't be patient and wait on God, then why should God even do any, good God Almighty, Lord, who am I talking to? Why should God even do anything for us if we can't wait on him? If we can't be patient, all hell is breaking loose around us, but we got to learn to be patient. We feel like giving up, but we got to learn to be patient. We feel like throwing in the towel, but there's something that should be in each one of us that says, I'm going to hold on a little while longer to see how God is going. Yes, I'm tired. Yes, I'm weary. Yes, I need God to do it now. But oh, I'm not going to leave, because I think, I just feel that when God gets ready to do it, I want to be in the middle of what he's doing. So James writes to support all Christians in our call and duty to be patient. So you have to understand, James is writing to believers who are feeling disenfranchised. They're feeling put out. They're feeling left out. And so in the beginning of chapter 5, what James does is, it's almost a dual message. He's talking to those who are the wealthy, who have employed the poor. And so he's letting, in the beginning part of James chapter 5, he's letting the wealthy know that all your glory is right here, right now. That's why we shouldn't put all our hope in money. And so he's sharing with them that, listen, the way that you have treated the poor and the desolate, listen, is an outrage, and God is not going to be pleased with that. While at the same time, he is encouraging those who have been left out and abandoned and disrespected. He's letting them know that you keep hanging on, because the coming of the Lord is near. And so if you exercise just a little bit more patience, God's going to be with you, and he's going to bring you through. And so we have to understand that what we go through now will bring about God's glory later. Help us, Lord Jesus, if we exercise patience. I know I'm not going to get a whole bunch of amens, but I'm glad that the word of God has already amened itself. Amen. God wants to challenge us this morning, because we as believers are the most impatient people in the world. When we pray, we want it now, God. If God doesn't do it now, then we say, well, God must not have heard me. Like God wears a hearing aid and has to turn it up in order to hear what you're saying. The reality of it is that as Christians, we've got to learn to, no matter what the situation might be, we got to learn to hang on in there until God makes it better. Listen to what I'm saying. Not until you make it better, but until God makes it better. Sometimes I just believe we quit right before God steps in, and then we wonder why the other people who've been waiting on God are now walking in the blessings of God, when we left before God could do the miraculous. And so the reality is that we and our impatient selves got to learn to be still. And if you know that he's God, you know he never reneges on a promise. If you know that he is God, you always know that he's never late. He's always on time. And your on time and God's on time are two different things. James in the text is encouraging believers to be patient under the trials and pressures of life. There are two things James shares in this text that we can do to have patience in the face of pressures in hard times. Have you ever had any hard times before? My Lord, help us, Lord. And so the first thing is to have patience under pressure. We have to open ourselves up to God's timing. So look at verse 7 and 8. Glory to God. Glory to God. James says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earthly and latter rain. Look at verse 8. You also be patient. Now, every single one of us, if we don't understand the agricultural opportunity that a farmer participates in, we at least know that when you put a seed in the ground, it may not be ripe the next day. And so our challenge is, when there's a seed that is in the ground, when God has said that he's going to do something in the life of the believer, that listen, it takes a little time for God to do it. Not that God is slow. Listen to what I'm saying. But I just believe that God then sees the faith of the individual and see if they're willing to wait on what he said he's going to do. And so if we are willing to wait on God so that God can see that, see, part of the waiting is not just I'm simply waiting for God to do something. Part of the waiting is while I'm waiting, my faith is getting stronger, because the harder the pressure is, the more I've got to trust in what God is able to do. The more it rains, the larger I have to make my umbrella and trust in God, because I know that God wants to do something, and if I have to wait years for him to do it, I ain't going nowhere. See, part of the timing of God, James shares with us a wonderful example of how a farmer plants a crop, and at the right opportunity, the crop will grow. And so the farmer, what we've got to do is just like the farmer, James is saying, what we've got to do is exercise the opportunity to be patient. And see, so we ask for it today, God may not do it until 10 years later. We may ask for it tomorrow and God might not do it until a year later. And so the challenge is that while I'm waiting, I'm rejoicing in the Lord because I know he's a promise keeper. You understand what I'm saying? That while I'm waiting, I'm not waiting in frustration, because I know that whatever God says he's going to do, he's going to do it. And I'm telling you, there are times that we're waiting and you could get down to the last hour and your last dollar and the last minute. And while you are feeling like God did not hear you, and the moment that you feel like it is the last, God will then show up and say, but I'm on time. That's why we can't keep looking at our watches on the wall and on our wrist saying, well, I prayed about this 2 weeks ago, and Lord, I need you to do it now. Sometimes the calamity will happen and God will still show you that he's a provider.
Yes, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Thank you.
Turn to somebody and say, be patient under pressure.
Be patient under pressure.
See, when the seed is planted, it takes time. And patience with faith will establish God's will being done in your life. See, our challenge this morning is, who will do you want to rise to the top, yours or God's? We become a society that is fix it now. Give it to me now. I can't wait for it no longer. We can sit in the restaurant, and if somebody get waited on before us, Lord help the person waiting on us. Because they'll come over to our table and the first thing we say is, listen, well, you waited on them before you came over here and waited on me. And now you're making a big deal about what they've done. But we've got to learn to be patient. Our biggest struggle as believers is because we are too, oh, I'm going to walk right down Main Street. Because we are too impatient. And then we're so quick to blame the devil when it doesn't move according to how we want it to move. Oh, the devil is a liar and he knows his position well and he cannot operate over God's power.
That's right. Amen, amen, amen.
And so you think it's the enemy of God, but really it's God trying to teach you and I how to wait on him and not move forward until he says something. Oh, we done messed up a whole lot of stuff in here. Oh, we done messed up jobs. We done messed up relationships. We done messed up a whole lot of stuff because we have moved before God told us to.
All right.
Trying to jump in front of line. No, you get back where your position is. Trying to get there before, you know, I want to be the first in line. Well, what you don't understand, you got to go through what the first person in line had to go through to get to where they are. And see, we want the reward, but we don't want to wrestle no more. Yeah, Lord, I want the reward, but don't take me through the process. I want it easy.
Amen.
Turn to somebody and say, don't come easy. And anything that comes too easy, it might not be God. You understand what I'm saying? Because life didn't get harder for me until after I got saved. Amen, somebody. The reality of it is that God has a timing that we have to be patient and we've got to wait on when God directs us to move. See, Christian patience is not just focused on waiting. This patience is about waiting in the wisdom of God.
Amen.
So what does the Lord say? Yeah, you impatient, but what does the Lord say? Yeah, you're tired, but what is the Lord saying? Yeah, we're weary, but what is the Lord saying? Yeah, Lord, I need you to do it right now, but what is the Lord saying? And so often we hear our voice over God's voice. Amen, lights. And so the opportunity to wait on the crop to grow, we lose ourselves in the madness of being impatient. And so we leave the farm because the crops ain't growing fast enough. And see, it's unfortunate that we live in a culture today where, you know, where we all love chicken and we all like certain foods. But for some reason, the system has failed us because the system is directing us to be impatient. I mean, they don't even raise chickens like they used to. They used to raise chickens to just eat corn and we're going to watch you grow. Now they'll shoot a chicken up with steroids to make the chicken bigger. Ain't no chicken wing supposed to look like that. I don't care what anybody says. I didn't grow up on chicken wings that look like my hand. Somebody shout amen. And so the culture that we're in is telling us be impatient. If they don't do it when you want them to do it, then go ahead and make some noise and get all loud about it and get all ignorant about it and make sure they know who you are. But you've got to understand that when we do that, we not only discredit the testimony of the Lord Jesus, but we also make ourselves look bad. Well, he's going to challenge us today. James chapter 1 verse 4 says, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, what we've got to understand is as Christians, we have to view our lives according to the purpose and the will of God. See, most of the stuff that we have gotten ourselves in, we have gotten ourselves in. Most of the challenges that we have faced in life, we have faced those challenges because we have been impatient about waiting on God. Listen, that's why you can step in your own understanding and get somewhere and be somewhere and be uncomfortable there, because that's not the place where God wanted you to be. But yet you took it. You jumped at the first thing that jumped in your face. See, sometimes it's about waiting. See, I'm just convinced that getting enough no's will help you understand the providential rule of God, because when God says yes, you know the difference.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But we don't like no. Mm-hmm. We don't like nobody telling us we can't. And so, therefore, we have raised a generation of children that are impatient. And so circumstances and difficulties are only the surface of everything we go through. I hope you get that. The surface, what you're going through is just surface. And here's what I want us to understand this morning, because if you don't know who you are, I want the Lord to allow the pressure to take place in your life, because it'll really reveal to you who you really are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. And see, the reality of it is when we are when it's revealed to us, when God reveals to us who we are, then it's time for us to then trust God for the real change in our lives. And see, that's what pressure does. Pressure comes to reveal to the believer that maybe I say I got more faith than I really have. Maybe I think I'm stronger than I really am. I often share the story. I remember the day that the Lord challenged my faith. And here I was, the pastor of the church, preaching every Sunday about faith. And we were in the process of getting this building. And the amount of the building was overwhelming when they told me and the leaders the price of this building. And I just said to myself, Lord, I don't know if we can do this. And I remember driving down the road, and the Lord said to me, he said, listen, you can have everybody in the church praying and fasting, but if you don't believe I can do this, I won't do it.
Amen.
And I had to pull my vehicle to the side, because my challenge was, God revealed to me that what I was preaching about faith and what I thought I had, I really didn't have. And so I needed to be, help us, Lord Jesus, because some of us in here this morning needs to be exposed. Because we're deceiving ourselves and thinking that, yeah, I got it all together. But you can't even wait for a program to come on television without flicking the channel. That's why can't nobody watch TV with you, because the whole time you sitting there, you searching channel, and they saying, wait a minute, would you just stop on one station? And I don't know how in the world you can watch football and you can watch another game and another game by flicking channels. Or I got it already set up that when there's a commercial, I'm going to flick to this channel. When there's a commercial, listen, that's being impatient. See, ain't no need in wrestling. See, the thing that we're going to do this morning, we're going to really wrestle with the issue that we're really dealing with. Because many of us in here are saying, well, God must not hear me when I pray. Well, God is moving too slow. Well, the reality of it is, it's not God, it's you. Oh, my God, I'm going to just step right. But listen, the reality is that when you recognize who you really are, then you can change. If you're impatient, the worst thing you can do is to pray and ask God to do something. And then you get up from your prayer and your impatient self and just every day saying, well, it ain't here today. It ain't here today. It ain't here today. It ain't here. And every day you're wrestling with the idea that God must not be God. Because if I believe he can do it, if I believe that he's a way maker, If I believe that he's a mind regulator and a heart fixer, if I believe that he can move in my situation and make adjustments, then why wouldn't I wait on the Lord? The Bible says wait on the Lord and rejoice while we're waiting. And so timing, timing is everything. See, timing is everything. So James shares with us a deeper meaning of what patience ought to be in the face of trial. And I can be in the middle of the worst situation in my life. I can be in the middle of the most challenging situation in my life. I could be in the middle of indecision, and I could be in the middle of just feeling like I'm going to die if I don't come out of this. And right before I give up, God shows up. And so turn to somebody and say, timing is everything. See, our timing and God's timing is not the same thing. James wants you and I to see the progression that happens when you mix faith in God with the pressures of life and the following timing of the patterns of things. And see, when we understand that, then we understand that pressure plus testing plus perseverance will equal maturity. Pressure plus timing plus perseverance will equal maturity. And so the truth is that God wants you to grow up. Help us, Lord Jesus. The truth is that God wants you and I to grow up. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but it's time for you to get off the bottle and start eating meat. And so God will allow the pressure to increase, just like the three Hebrew boys. It's amazing how you can be in the middle of a fire and you be cool as ice. That doesn't even make sense. But yet what we have to understand is there is no pressure, there is no difficulty, there is no situation that Jesus, if you trust him for timing, won't step right in there with you. And I've learned over the years of being a believer is I'm very careful about God pulling me out of what I'm in, because if he steps in there with me, I'm going to be even better than I would if he'd have pulled me out. And see, some things, if you pull it out too soon, it may not be finished. So we always asking the Lord, Lord, take me out of this. Lord, bless me and get me out of this. Lord, I don't want to deal with this anymore. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes you got to build up a resistance against the devil. And the only way to do it is to be in the situation while Jesus is with you and still keep trusting him. And I'm not talking about trusting and understanding, because some things you're going to have to trust in that you don't understand. So you have to know that God is with you and that he is guiding you and I on the path of righteousness. Second thing, look at verse 11. Hallelujah. 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 Turn to somebody and say, Lord, help me get it right this time. Yeah, I'm tired of messing up. I'm tired of always feeling all discouraged and always mad and angry. I'm tired of feeling like everybody knows my business. I'm tired of feeling like I've been run over and left for dead. I'm tired of that emotional drain that happens every time I get in a situation. I think I'm all right, and then boom, another situation happens. Well, I'm telling you, the more pressure, listen, the finer diamond you're going to become. The more pressure, see, so don't resist. Resist what's going to make you and I better. Don't resist it. And say, Lord, I don't understand it, but thank you. Because I know that you're doing something in me that if I'd have been left to my own devices, I probably would have just rolled up in a corner and gave up on my whole life situation. But the fact of the matter is that you've prepared a table of folks that are hating and talking about me. And the only way that they're going to see the salvation of the Lord is while I'm in it, you got to be with me. And so when all of them stand at the table and say, oh, I knew that's who you was, then boom, bring me out of it so that they understand that what went in looking one way comes out looking better.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And so James says in verse 11, glory to God, in James chapter 5, he says in verse 11, he says, indeed, we count them blessed. Now, you have to understand that he shares first about the prophets of the Old Testament, and none of them were wealthy people. The truth of the matter is many of them lived in very challenging situations, because anywhere they would go, when the prophet showed up in a town, people were afraid of the prophet. And so therefore, people didn't really deal with the prophets because they knew that this person was coming and talking on behalf of God. And so whenever the prophet showed up, it was about judgment. And so can you imagine walking up into people's parties and into people's jobs? And the moment they see you, they say, don't talk to them. Some of us may be going through some of that stuff now. But the reality of it is, when God has put a purpose on your life, guess what? You're going to generate some, help us, Lord Jesus, you're going to generate some opposition. And so I want the Holy Spirit to help you this morning to understand that when you generate opposition, you're doing something. It's not that people don't, you're feeling bad, because what the enemy will try to do is to make you feel unpopular. And so therefore you'll do anything to gain the popularity in the praise of other people. Oh, but I'm telling you, trust in the Lord, because what God will show you is that when there's opposition, that means not only have you changed, but I'm also changing the scenery around you so that those who are against you are struggling with themselves, because they see you walking upright and in righteousness. And so it reflects to them that you don't have what God has given me. And so the opposition is not to destroy us, because the opposition is struggling with really wanting to be just like you. And so indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You hear that? You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Listen, what we've got to understand is that Job in the text is used as an example because his patience involved in the exercise of enduring. And I've often said this, that it would be a tragedy in today's time for you and I to be at work and somebody drives all the way from our house where we live to our job and says, I'd like to see brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And we come down saying, well, what's going on? And they say, listen, all your family was at your house and everybody, the house blew up and everybody's dead. I barely made it out. And then if that wasn't hard enough, then you go back up to your job and sit at your desk. And then your supervisor comes into your office and says, listen, we've hired one too many people. And so we're going to give you your pink slip today. And we're going to let you know, we thank you for working for us, but we can't have you employed here anymore. And if that isn't enough, and then you leave your job, you just lost everybody in your family, you just lost your wife or your husband and your children, you go to your job, and now you've lost your job, and then on your way home, you collapse and fall out, and an ambulance comes, pick you up, and take you to the hospital, and then a doctor comes into the room and says, listen, you have terminal anything. In the span of 24 hours, Job lost. See how blessed we are? And so James uses Job in the text to help the believers understand what you're going through isn't even half of what he experienced. And yet you're complaining, yet you're worried, yet you're anxious, yet you can't even sleep at night and get yourself together. But your family's still in your house. You still got a job. You aren't sick. You aren't hurt. And so the reality is that if Job could experience all of those things, not being different than you and I, then what in the world is wrong with us? And yet Job was patient. And it's enough to feel bad, then people come your way and tell you how bad you really feel. It's your fault that it's like this. You know, if you'd have done more of this, you probably wouldn't have happened. I tell you, I hope you find something else that you can do, get another job, because, you know, you had a good job. I don't know what in the world happened, how you lost that. And you already feel bad. And I'm telling you, the enemy will come with people that call themselves your friends. And it'll make you feel even worse. Turn to somebody and say, be patient under pressure.
Be patient under pressure.
And so, in other words, what we have to understand is we have to hear, and I'm going to tell you, God will purposely put us under pressure so we can see not only what we're made of, but what we need from him.
Amen. Amen.
And see, some of the things that you used to hear people talk about who were Christians, and you would say to yourself, listen, that's just crazy. God will make you start believing that stuff. The stuff you said, well, you know what? You'd walk away from them, tell you, well, the Lord did this for me. And you will walk away from them saying, yeah, right. I'm telling you, pressure will make you believe stuff that you can't see. Help us, Lord Jesus. Pressure will make you move in something. You'll hear the voice of God and just say, do it. And pressure will make you do what you don't fear, what you don't feel like doing, what you may be uncomfortable doing. Pressure will make you move in God's direction. James said, when we endure, that is what makes us blessed. Oh, that doesn't sound like what we normally makes us feel good. He said, when we endure, he said, those folks who endure are blessed. And so the truth of the matter is, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. That makes us blessed because we have learned how to be patient with perseverance. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says this, but we also glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And so that is why an athlete spends days and months practicing all of the routines so that when they get to the race, they feel what? Prepared. And they'll work all the way up until the day of that race or of that event because they want to make sure that they are prepared. Now, what we miss sometimes is we just see the glory of them finishing the race as number one, but we don't know the pressure and pain that they had to endure to be able to get to that point. And see, it's one thing to give up in a situation, but it's a whole nother thing when you give in to your fleshly ideas and thoughts. I'm tired. I can't do this no more, Lord. And we telling the Lord, we got a time limit. And so, Lord, I ain't doing this no more. And so second thing that we have to understand is we have to know, to have patience under pressure, we have to know that God will bring me out. If you don't believe that, then you're struggling. Because at some point, we need to really just come to the conclusion that I know I'm in the situation I'm in. Glory to God. I can think about some of those situations I've been in myself. And at the end of the day, I had to come to the reality of it and say, Lord, if you don't work it out, if you don't pull me out, if you don't fix it, if you don't work it out, then, Lord, I am doomed to be condemned by what I'm going through. But I'm telling you, you don't need a whole bunch of faith. If you just have a little bit of faith right now to believe believe that God can do it, guess what? God will do it, and he'll show you who he really is so that your faith can what? Increase. And so the pressure in our lives should never change the settled condition of us being Christians. Should change our attitude. Guess what? When the pressure comes, we ought to be the same person we were when we were on the mountain giving God praise. Hallelujah. Sometimes we got to dance in the pressure. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes we got to shout in the pressure. Sometimes we just got to stand there and people don't even know what's going on with you. But you just stand there saying, oh, thank you, Lord. Clap yourself in and rejoice in the pressure, because you know that though he slay me, Job said it, yet will I trust him. Why? Because I know he is a way maker. I know that God can do it despite how I feel. I know that God can work it out. And all of us in here got at least one experience that we can say, yeah, the Lord did that too. Yeah, the Lord did that. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes it's about we get amnesia and we forget about what God has done. But every single one of us could write down a situation where God moved into our situation and said, listen, I got you. Just hold on, because I'm going to move you out of this. But now listen to what I'm saying. When I move you out of it, don't you take those steps back to it. See, I'm pulling, who am I talking to, Lord? I'm pulling you out for you to stay out. Yes. Say amen, somebody. Amen. And so, anxieties and worries should not disturb your genuine faith in God. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Distractions ought not be the thing that you focus on when God is trying to do something in your life. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to, but the reality of it is that when you can't do the wrong thing for the right reason. That doesn't even make sense, but yet we do that. We do it. God is not going to bless us in the midst of us being under pressure if we allow the pressure to make us bitter. Oh, you know some angry people. It's you sitting in it. It's you, but the angry person might be you. But the truth is, we know some folks who have been through situation after situation, and the situation has built a callus around their heart, and now they're just angry about everything. You ask them how they're doing. I'm all right. Everything good? Well, you know, I guess it's going to be all right. And I hate this one. I hate when people say, well, it's all right now. Come on now. As if they're waiting for the bottom to fall out. And many of us live our lives that way because we're impatient. We walk on eggshells because we believe at any moment, you know, nothing, God can't do nothing good for you, because you walking around at any moment, it could change. And so you testing the ground that you step on, say, oh, I can stand on that. Oh, can I stand on that? And the reality of it is you're struggling in your faith with God, because God wants to allow the pressure to change us. Amen. And so, final word. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says this. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also the consolation or the comfort and relief also abounds through Christ. And so, Pastor, what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, the more pressure that I have on me, the more comfort I get from Jesus. The more pressure that's on you and I, and see, that's why we can't look for relief from nobody else but the Lord. And so so Paul says, the more pressure that is on you, the more suffering that is on you, you have someone who can comfort you.
Thank you, Lord.
See, we run into Billy and Sally and looking for comfort in substance and in alcohol, and all that stuff do is make you more dizzier. It doesn't give you a clear understanding of who you are in God. It doesn't give you the steps of how God wants to pull you out. It makes you confused.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. And so that whenever you confuse, it ain't God. And so God wants us, oh, help us, Lord Jesus. So God wants us to become better. And I want you to understand, I don't care what you feel about yourself, God wants you to be better than that. God doesn't care what you think about yourself. Listen, it doesn't even matter what kind of situations that you have maybe been faced, that you have faced in your life. That doesn't matter the abuse that you may have gone through. Listen, God can move in your life in such a way that he can redeem the time that you believe or think you've lost. He can pull you from the negative circumstance into a positive situation. But our challenge is we're too impatient.